trouble.
On today's episode of Acadiana Cast Presents, we've gone country, folks. That's right, we've got the great and powerful Kristen Foreman in studio with us today. Great country musician from Karen Crow, Louisiana. She is working and living in Nashville, songwriting, putting stuff out. Her new song, Spicy, is out now wherever you stream your music, Spotify, Apple, all those things. Go listen to it. I'm going to talk to her, see if we can put it in the episode, but we'll talk about that later. In the meantime, we'll be talking about, you know, her career, how she's, you know, her writing style, some of her TikToks, which I'm very interested in, and so much more. Hope you guys really enjoy this conversation. But first, this episode is brought to you by the Blue Monday Mission. You know, the Blue Monday Mission, if you've heard me talk about it on this podcast before, it's a way to give back to our aging musicians here in Acadiana, those who helped create this culture that we love so much. Folks like Lee Allen Zeno, the great bass player for Buckwheat Zydeco, who just won his second Grammy with Buckwheat Zydeco Jr., winning it with the father, winning it with the son. It's just a great story. But you can check the Blue Monday All-Stars once a quarter now. I think they're doing those shows, the Blue Monday Jams. We can have those dates on loveofpeople.org's website. Go follow Blue Monday Concert Series as well on Facebook to find when the next jam is going to be. And as Samuel Parbu always says, you never know who might show up. All right, with that being said, Jai, hit the music. Glad to have you. I'm Carter Simoneau, host of Acadiana Cast Presents. Go to acadianacast.com for more South Louisiana source podcasts like The Buzz on Better Business with Chris Babbitt and the Better Business Bureau serving Acadiana. Law Have Mercy with Chaz Roberts, personal injury lawyer here in Lafayette. And The Tea with Ben Powers with Developing Lafayette. Of course, Acadiana Cast Presents. And we've got some more shows coming your way in 2024. You know what to do. Like, comment, subscribe, follow. It's the best way you guys can support us. Now, with all that out the way, let's go to the guest of honor, Kristen Foreman, Karen Crow's own. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you went to Turlings, grew up in Karen Crow. What kind of stuff were you listening to? I assume, you know, Cajun Zydeco was all around you, but country-wise, what were you kind of listening to growing up?
My favorite was definitely the 90s country. Hell, that for sure.
Absolutely. Same here. Yeah. Big, you know, George Strait, Alan Jackson, of course, Toby Keith, who we just lost this week. As recording, rest in peace. Should have been a cowboy. That's why I'm dressed like this. Also for Kristen.
You look great.
Thank you. See, I'm pulling it off, guys. But you graduated Turlings, you go to LSU, and you're a freshman in college. Never really performed before, right?
And not in venues or bars.
And I heard that you were at, like, someone brought you up on stage to, like, a small little crowd, and then that just kind of seal the deal for you.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up singing in church, and so once I realized I could sing country music in front of people and on a stage, I was like, oh, this is cool.
So you didn't have, like, a lot of nerves going in, or?
Oh, definitely.
Filled with the nerves, but you got through, and that, I guess, awoke something in you.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so while you're at LSU, do you start playing gigs?
Yes, I did. I did that on the weekends, just acoustic stuff, like, you know, the Mexican restaurants.
Oh, yeah, the Tex-Mex tour.
There we go.
Yeah. So were you playing in like, the Acadiana area, Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I kind of went all over to Lafayette, Opelousas, Karen Crow, Baton Rouge, that whole area.
And what made you make the jump to wanting to pursue it full time?
That was kind of my goal even at college. I went there for my parents and then moved to Nashville once I graduated.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you graduated in marketing something or another?
I did, yes.
So with that, to be a good marketer, you got to be able to, you know, tell a story. And as a songwriter, you're a storyteller. Do you think any of that marketing knowledge has helped you in your young career so far?
I think it definitely has. It gave me more of like a business mindset going into it rather than, oh, they're not liking my songs. But really, it's just, it's really about advertising it correctly.
Right.
And getting it in front of people.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, you live in Nashville, but like breaking through that mold, like the times I've been in Nashville, like just on like Broadway alone, I know those guys, like, I don't think most of them actually play. They're not getting a check. They're playing for tips. So it kind of weeds out the people who, A, don't want to be there, or the bad musicians. And so it's competitive as hell.
Yeah, for sure.
So kind of having that marketing business kind of backbone, I feel like can maybe give you a leg up.
Yeah, definitely. Broadway is an interesting area to play.
Why is that?
It's
besides
just,
all the bachelorette parties.
Yeah, it's mainly Bachelorette City, and so it's just a bunch of drunk people going up and down the strip and
woo girls.
Yeah, so it can get rowdy.
Absolutely. So how often are you playing in that part of Nashville?
I did that for like a year and a half full time, and then I got burnout on that street.
I'm sure.
So I mainly travel outside to play.
Okay, so you got a show in Texas on March 22nd.
In Spring Branch.
Spring Branch at
the Screaming Goat.
The Screaming Goat.
Yeah.
What a great venue name. I mean, we were just talking off camera how much we would love to go to the Screaming Goat. So if you're talking to somebody from, let's say, here in South Louisiana, and who's going to go take a trip to Nashville, do you have go-to spots for music that you'd recommend?
Yeah, my favorite spot downtown is Robert's Western World.
Robert's Western World.
You got to try their fried bologna sandwich.
Fried bologna?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm from South Louisiana and we have just all the delicious foods in the world, but fried bologna doesn't sound that appeasing to me.
I mean, don't knock until you try it.
That's fair.
It's good.
I mean, I do love the Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah, they got some good stuff.
Been to Hattie B's.
Nice.
I've done the spots. I went to a place called The Listening Room, and what I loved about that is it was like the first place I ever saw before where there's like four musicians on stage, each with a guitar, playing songs that have been like, you know, top 40 country radio or whatever, but right. They're the ones who wrote it. And so you kind of see like the original versions of those. I got a lot out of those.
Yeah, that spot is really neat. That's probably one of the best writers' rounds you can go to in town.
So talk to me a little bit about the industry as far as like the writing component. How does it work when you become a writer in the Nashville, I guess, system? Do you go get signed by a company? How does that all work?
If you're like freshly moving to town, writer's rounds are the best way to network as far as songwriting. And then once you kind of start forming a little circle of friends, it's kind of like a domino effect after that. And then if you're trying to pursue a publishing deal, then I mean, that's a lot of who you know. Mm. So once you start songwriting with other people, you can kind of get into other circles of songwriting, and it just can lead you to a publishing deal eventually, but it takes time.
So a lot of networking, a lot of rubbing elbows, probably doing little jobs here and there that you don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And just kind of climb your way up. Is that something you're aiming to get, like a big publishing deal? Do you have one?
I mean, if one was laid out in front of me, I wouldn't say no, but I'm mainly going towards the artist route.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's been your experience, you know, seeing other parts of the country playing your music?
My favorite part about traveling is getting outside of the social media aspect of it and actually getting to meet people in person.
Mm. Yeah, because I mean, you've got a pretty nice social media presence, and we'll talk about your TikTok in a little bit. but are you just talking about releasing a song and then having, you know, people maybe comment on or just talk to you, engage with you on social media compared to actually seeing them in person?
Yeah,
like
it's
a face
really
behind like the avatar.
Right, exactly. It's cool if you come across someone that's like, oh, I love this song, or you know, things like that. It's neat in person rather than online. Obviously, I'm grateful for everything online, but
sure,
it's a different experience hearing it in person.
What song do you get approached about the most?
A lot of people love Crown and Coke.
Mm.
That's my
I think that's your
biggest
top song on Spotify.
Yeah, that one. And then I Hope Your Biscuits Burn. That has like a whole backstory side business that I got going on with
so
that one.
Let's get into the biscuits. So the song is called, again,
I Hope Your Biscuits Burn.
I Hope Your Biscuits Burn. How did that start? Was it the TikTok first, the song? It became a thing of its own. Tell me the whole story.
I wrote the song first, and it's about a friend breakup. And so I was trying to figure out how to market the song on my TikTok, and that's what led to me burning biscuits. And
yeah, so you burn biscuits, and then you send them to people?
Yeah, so you can order it on my website, and I'll anonymously mail it to whoever you want with a note attached to it.
Let's pull up one of those clips. Jai, I believe it's the one that's like 23,000.
To Jessica in Alabama, I hope you enjoy... I hope you enjoy kissing the lips that ate my ass.
Oh. So you get a message that you have to send out with these burnt biscuits.
Yeah, they get really creative.
How often are you... How much of your day is spent burning biscuits and sending them to people?
Well, I have a whole system now.
Oh, please tell me about this system.
The biscuits never go bad because they're burnt. So they just kind of stay in that state.
Yeah, just.
So I have like a whole stash of them ready to go whenever I get an order.
I assume you're not putting a return address.
It's on my P.O. box.
Okay. Yeah. Does anybody send it back?
Yeah, I have gotten some back.
So people will just give you these vile messages to send off to people, and you do so in the form of burning biscuits.
Yep.
I heard you also sometimes will spray fart spray on them.
Yeah, there's different tiers. So you can buy a basic biscuit, a baddie biscuit, or a bonus biscuit.
And what's the baddie biscuit?
The baddie biscuit comes with extra glitter, fart spray, and a song.
What, how's it come with a song?
I play like a song request on TikTok.
Oh, okay. So that's part of the delivery is you... Yeah. It's on the video.
Right.
Then what's the highest tier?
That's the baddie biscuit.
Okay, the baddie biscuit.
And then the bonus biscuit has fart spray, extra glitter, no song.
Okay.
Basic biscuit is just glitter, how it normally comes.
How much are these running for?
The basic one is $5. The bonus is around $10, and the baddie one is around $20.
What's your biscuit budget?
Wait, what?
Your biscuit budget. How much you spent? How much you drop in a month on biscuits?
I never really added it up, to be honest.
We got to check out what your overhead is.
I definitely profit a lot on them. Just putting it together is
no worries, dude. It's doing well. Yeah. Well, man, I've got so many people I would like to send burnt biscuits to. I mean, off the top of my head, Jai for one, just keeps making me look like an absolute fool in these edits. Which I think I told him to do, and I'm the idiot who just keeps posting them. So I think it's just I don't feel like paying the money to have them unfix it. But they're fun, you know. What am I going to do?
Makes sense.
I'm a big idiot. I'm wearing a cowboy hat. I've never roped in my life. Is it stolen valor to wear this getup?
Stolen valor?
Yeah, like you ever seen those videos of dudes wearing like military garb, but they've never served, and like actual military guys will go up and approach them, but like that's stolen valor, dude. Like you weren't in Korea, you're 23.
I think people get kind of like super butthurt about it in the cowboy community.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think it's cool if someone wants to join the fashion. I don't really see a problem with it.
I play country music, so. I wore this to a gig recently at one of the Mexican restaurants, and of course my friends showed up, didn't know they were coming, and just absolutely roasted me. I put my guitar down, and then like I'm gonna go pick it up, and my hat fell, and then like I put it on backwards, and one of my friends got a video of me putting it on backwards.
That's amazing.
And then said like I was wearing it backwards the entire time, which I wasn't, Abby. It's neither here nor there, I guess. There's nothing on these notes. I don't know why I'm holding them. Let me go back to my real notes, which are on my phone. So your favorite artist I read is Leanne Womack.
Yes.
Why?
She just has like the most underrated vocal in country music, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah. And she chooses like amazing storytelling songs.
Okay. And as a songwriter, your favorite is Jamie Johnson, who I love.
Yes, he's great.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, man. He has this really sad song called Even the Skies Are Blue.
Oh, yes. That is a sad song.
Yeah.
First time I went to the Grand Ole Opry, we were seeing the Cox Family Band and Alison Krauss. And Jamie Johnson, just in the middle of it, just came on stage, which is like, I guess it's one of those Opry things. Like, sometimes you never know who,
right,
one of those Opry members who might show up.
That's really cool.
Do you know like how like the requirements for the Opry works? Like how many shows you're required to do a year? Isn't there like some sort of, if to be a member?
I want to say it's like something around once a month, maybe.
Once a month.
I could be wrong on that, though.
Do you have?
I should know. I just took the Opry backstage tour.
I'm taking the tour, too.
Shows you how much memory I have.
I assume you have aspirations of performing on that stage?
Of course, yeah.
Well, what's higher tier, the Opry or the Ryman?
Probably the Opry for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I feel like the Opry is more centered around country music, and the Ryman is more inclusive,
sure,
which is really neat, but...
I saw Kid Rock's Comedy Jam at the Ryman.
Oh, wow.
At Nashville Comedy Fest. Some people like Shane Gillis on stage. Yeah, that's not too country. What do you have a process for songwriting? Like, is it, do you find words first or a progression first?
I usually start with a hook or an idea, and then I write the lyrics first and then the melody and guitar.
Okay.
Most people start with melody and guitar first, but I'm kind of backwards on that.
Yeah, I'm kind of, the songs that I've written, which it's never been released, so it could be very well be zero for all the people know. But the times that I've tried to write, I've like, as I'm like, I like a kind of progression that I like, I'll start like adding a line. I saw this thing that John Mayer said once. Like, if you're like playing around with the guitar and you're not at least going like, or like, she was just walking there, or something, you know, yeah, so just like throwing out words against the wall, then it's a useless endeavor. And so that's what I try to do, is while playing a progression that I like, is kind of filled in with some just nonsense phrases until maybe something sticks. And then I start writing around like that first line that I come up with, and then create a story off of that.
Yeah, that's a great technique. It keeps the vibe going, you know.
Yes. I'm on my way,
especially
boys.
Especially if you're like co-writing. Because then someone can bounce off of that.
Yeah, do you have any preference between writing by yourself and co-writing?
To me, I tend to get more into the song if I'm alone.
Sure.
But I do like co-writing because it brings different ideas that I wouldn't have had to the song.
What are your thoughts on, I guess, popular country music in 2024 compared to, like, I mean, you said you're more of like a 90s...
Right.
Girl, that kind of style. Do you think there, like, that has a place in top country radio today? Because I see guys like Zach Top,
right,
who are kind of bringing that style back as well.
I say this like every year and then it never happens, but I think it's taking a turn to the more traditional style. That's what it feels like the industry is leaning towards right now, but I'm wrong every time I say that. So.
But yeah, it just feels like, well, with everything in today's media landscape, like everything is so independent now,
right,
that I feel like the independents almost have more of the power, or they're shaping the zeitgeist, the culture a little bit more than what the industry is putting out. But at the same time, you know, they're, you know, putting out bangers and making a bunch of money. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah. Nashville's definitely TikTok oriented right now.
What does that mean?
Like, the labels are signing people from TikTok.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So we got to get those numbers up, huh?
Right. Yeah, it's
buy those biscuits,
it's
folks.
An interesting industry now. Cuz some people like have never played a show, or, you know, have gone outside of their bedroom.
Wow.
And they're getting signed.
That's wild to think about.
I know.
Like, haven't even been on stage.
Right.
Never clamped their fingers on a mic stand accidentally before. What's going on? So let's talk about South Louisiana. You're back in town. Were you here for like a Mardi Gras ball?
Yeah, my parents are in the Karen Crow crew.
Okay.
With a K.
Do you miss Mardi Gras? Or do you come back? You come back every single year?
I pretty much come back every year.
Yeah, so there's nothing to miss.
Yeah, I don't have a chance to miss it.
What food do you miss the most in Nashville?
Probably boiled crawfish.
Ooh, wow. It's pretty expensive right now. It's hard to get.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's still, there's so many people who are in Nashville who are from Louisiana or right. just from all over. But does anybody give you like a hard time for eating crawfish or any of your South Louisiana tendencies?
I think most people are so like fascinated by Louisiana that they're more just like interested in wanting to know more about it.
What's the question you get asked the most? Do you have alligators in your backyard?
I don't really get that one. I guess they just want to know like what the landscape is like and just like
flat.
Yeah, like what the people are like, things like that.
Sweet people who like to have a good time and you know, le bon temps roulette, that type of stuff. Do you have any plans to do any sort of collabs with like Cajun or Zydeco artists one day?
That would be really neat. I've considered like redoing an old Zydeco song and putting like a country twist to it. So I might do that this year.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of that, you know, country, Zydeco, Cajun, it all kind of blends together, blues. It all kind of comes from the same place of all these different cultures kind of coming together. And then certain genres kind of went their own direction and formed their own thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Besides like 90s, quote unquote 90s country, like what is there a more official term for that era of country?
I don't know. Everyone I hear just talking 90s, about it right? just says 90s country.
Yeah, it's always by like decade. But of course,
I guess it's more like honky tonk type style.
Yeah. Some Texas swing.
Yeah, for sure.
I was watching a documentary on Willie Nelson last night and how, like, he was going against the grain. That's kind of where the outlaw term came out, wasn't it? He was, like, breaking the law, except for, you know, smoking copious amounts of weed. But the outlaw was just that he didn't conform to, like, what Nashville wanted him to be.
Yeah.
And then he was just, like, going platinum and just kicking everyone's ass.
All right.
It was just it was cool to kind of see that story. I love Willie.
Yeah. I just listened to Theo Von's podcast on my drive down, and he interviewed Travis Tritt.
Oh, did he?
And so Travis Tritt was talking about how he had a whole era in his career where he was like the outlaw in Nashville and everyone like despised him.
Yeah. Travis Tritt, outlaw.
Right.
It's a great day to be alive. So outlaw. So do you have any country artists from Louisiana that you have mingled with or that you're friends with?
Yeah, one of my kind of mentors growing up in the scene was Dustin Saunier.
Okay.
And Keith Blair.
Keith is the man.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just had a little co-writing session with the three of us a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Something going to come out of that?
It's not bad. The song, If This Honky Tonk Was Honest.
If This Honky Tonk Was Honest. I like that. You have Spicy out now. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of the future look like for you the next year for 2024?
The goal is to kind of put out a single every 8 weeks or so.
Okay.
So I've got another one that'll be coming out around April called Pedal Steal Me Away. It's a country ballad.
God, I love country writing. So clever. Brain fart. And we're back. it was about... What you just said, forget it. So you said you're going to be releasing a single every 8 weeks. That's the goal. Is that kind of like the move to do is just single whenever you're coming up? Like, what about an album?
I feel like my name isn't like strong enough to put out a whole album just yet because it's hard enough to get people's attention for one song. So it's really difficult to get them to listen to an entire album
Yeah, trust me, I got like an hour-long podcast I no one watches or listens to, but they like the minute-long clips. Speaking of that, the minute-long clips, what gets a lot of traction on my TikTok is when I have some sort of South Louisiana hot take.
Okay.
And a question I've been asking most of my guests is, do tomatoes belong in gumbo?
They do not.
They do not. That's not a surprise. That's what everyone says. Why not?
In Florida, they do.
In Florida. That's the first, I think it's the first time someone said Florida. Well, that's funny that you say that because I guess the Florida parishes where I'm from, people put tomato, I guess in New Orleans area. But I've never, people always say that around here, that tomatoes go in gumbo in like the New Orleans area. But I've never once had gumbo growing up around New Orleans that had tomato in it.
Huh.
I don't know if my parents just raised me right or wrong.
I don't know.
I mean, it is funny. I love Mardi Gras, but it is funny that we have an entire holiday predicated around getting drunk and throwing plastic at each other.
And then Lent starts.
And then Lent starts, yeah. Get out all your sinning and then, you know, button up. Quit eating meat for a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Catholic religion in a nutshell.
Yeah, except in South Louisiana, like, we don't eat meat, but we have crawfish and amazing crab. Seafood. Yeah, the best seafood in the world. So it's not much of a sacrifice there.
Right.
What's the best way for people to follow you, support you?
Just go to at Kristen Foreman Music on any of my social pages or KristenForeman.com for shows.
And how do you buy Burnt Biscuits?
It's on KristenForeman.com in the shop section.
In the shop section. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to be sending a bunch to Jai, maybe Luke, because he's been snickering to the side over there as well. And then some other people from back at home. I think it's such a great idea. And just doing some research last night before you got here, I love your style, love your music.
Thank you.
Excited to see kind of where you go from here. And we'll be happy to support you from our end here at Acadiana Cast. And
I appreciate that.
Do our small role. But, you know, obviously you're doing all the heavy lifting, and I'm excited to see what comes your way.
Thank you for having me.
As we end each episode, you can take a look at this camera right here, your one, and okay. It could be a word, a phrase, a song lyric, advice, anything that you would like to impart on internet land to end this episode.
All right. I know you like me sweet, but do you like me spicy?
Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Since you made it this far, might as well give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, you know, whatever you got to do to alert you that there's a new episode out. Look, it helps us grow, and it allows us to give you the content that, well, you deserve. If you want to be a sponsor, if you want to be a guest, if you just want to berate me, hey, all goes to the same place. info@acadianacast.com. Email info@acadianacast.com. And for more locally sourced podcasts, go to acadianacast.com. Bye.
Hey, y'all, it's Kristen Foreman. Y'all go check out my new song, Spicy, on anywhere you hear music. KristenForeman.com or @KristenForemanMusic on my socials.
Yeehaw!